Item two, accept comments from the public. I do have one comment card, and I understand this is not pertaining to an item on the agenda. Jeff Carmen.
Morning.
Good morning.
My name is Jeff Carmen. I'm the fire chief of Contra Costa Fire. I wrote my comments down to try and be respectful of the 3 minutes, so pardon me for reading. I'm here today to bring to your attention an issue that I hope you are all aware of, but it's an issue that I feel is unfair and it's unethical and should be addressed by the board as soon as possible. This last year, I had two employees who retired from the fire district after 30 years of service. Both of these employees performed a substantial amount of standby work as part of their normal jobs. Both of these employees took these jobs knowing that the standby time was required by the job. Both of these employees, as well as the fire district, believed and intended that the standby pay they received would be included in their final retirement calculations. And in fact, the retirement contribution amounts for both the employee and employer were based on the assumption that the standby pay these employees received would be included in their final retirement calculations. Despite all of this, both of these employees have been denied having their standby pay included in their final retirement pay. After hearing this, I immediately contacted Sicera management to ask for clarification. Christina Dunn explained why the standby pay was not used in the final calculations, and after reviewing the documentation she provided me and conferring with my own county council, I asked for and received an opportunity to meet in person with Sicera management to discuss the issue. During the meeting, it was determined that over a year prior, Sicera had changed their rules as to when they would and would not include standby pay in their final retirement calculation. Although they had communicated the rule change in an email when it was made, it did not catch the fire district's attention, nor was the fire district specifically addressed, even though it was known that they would be substantial. The rule change required that for standby pay to be included in the final retirement calculations, the employee's MOU language would have to require the standby time. Although this rule change has been approved by a judge who stated it was an acceptable methodology, by no means did he say this was the only way to confirm the standby time was required. And the fire district has many other ways we could prove that the standby time for both of these employees met all of the requirements set forth in the pension reform rules. We have job classifications, internal policies and procedures, and salary records that clearly show that the time and pay met all of the necessary requirements. But Sicera has chosen to only accept written language in the employee's MOU. In addition to being denied the standby pay in their final retirement calculations, we also found out that Sicera had changed their rules regarding appeals, making their decisions final and eliminating any appeal process for the employee. So let me summarize my points. I have two retired employees that put in over three decades of service to the county and to the citizens and to the fire district. They've been paying a contribution rate that was based on the fact their standby time would be included in their final retirement calculation. But because their MOU language doesn't clearly state that that standby time is required, they are being denied by Sicera that benefit that they've already paid for. Sicera also changed the rules to eliminate any formal appeal process for these employees. And Sicera has also denied paying back to the employee and the employers the excess contributions that were paid over the course of their career to fund this retirement benefit they're not getting. I'll just ask you this, where are the ethics in this? I'm fully aware that in the past some employees were able to spike their retirements, and as a result, pension reform was enacted. While I believe in some cases it was unethical to perform those practices, I believe it's equally unethical for Sicera to deny an employee retirement pay when it was always assumed by both the employee and the employer that it would be paid to them and it was funded accordingly. As a major contributor to Sicera, I would expect that Sicera would notify me specifically that they were going to change a rule that affected my organization so profoundly so that as the fire chief, I could have responded appropriately. Had I known that language needed to be changed in the MOU, I would have done it during our last negotiations. Now the county is unwilling to make the necessary changes in the MOU language outside of regular negotiations, so we have employees who are planning to retire and have retired that are caught in the middle of this rule change. I question the ethics of Sicera continuing to charge employees and the employer an additional amount of money to cover a retirement benefit they have no plan to provide. My expectation is that Sisera should have contacted me directly to say they are currently collecting contributions for a benefit that can't be paid, and unless MOU language has changed, they should be adjusting my contributions accordingly. That would give me the opportunity to either change the language or negotiate that reduction in contributions. But instead, today, we are still paying the excess contributions for a benefit that cannot be paid to the employee. Finally, I question the ethics of denying a formal appeal process to the employees. All decisions, no matter who makes them, should have an appeal process. I know many of you and have worked with or alongside or for you for the last 5 years. You know that I do not like to publicly protest and prefer to resolve issues through negotiation and collaboration. I tried that route when I met with Sisera management and their legal counsel and it had no success. However, I'm not willing at this point in my career to sit down and let this go without notice. I feel I have personally let these employees down. They served the citizens in the fire district for three decades, believing their time would be compensated, only to be denied after it was too late for them or me to make the necessary changes. I personally recruited Chief Gonzalez to the assistant fire chief position under the belief the standby time that was required of the job would have been compensated to him at retirement. Were it not for that assumption, he may not have taken the job. It may have been more beneficial for him to remain a battalion chief, whose standby pay has been approved to be paid at retirement. In addition, this is yet another disincentive for my organization to promote, for people to promote and take on additional responsibility. I rely heavily on standby pay. It's a way that we can be more financially efficient, yet now our employees are taking notice and are reluctant to promote until the standby pay issue is resolved. In closing, I ask you this, as the board, make this right. Your goal in changing the rules was to assure that standby time was required of the job and that it met the three requirements of the Pension Reform Act. Sisera chose only to accept the MOU language as proof that the standby pay was required and didn't directly notify employers of those changes. Although the MOU doesn't specifically require the standby pay for these two employees, a thorough review of the other documentation that we can provide will reveal it is required still to this day and meets all of the pension reform requirements. Finally, I ask that you consider whether or not Sisera took the necessary effort to assure all employers who would be affected by the rule change were given ample notice of the change. In the future, I would ask that you require Sisera staff to meet directly with all affected agencies, explain the rule changes, and give them time to discuss the impacts and provide the employer to respond. It will avoid these kind of issues in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Are there any other public comments? Okay.
The question I would have is, will this be brought to us at a future agenda, or is this just considered a moot issue? Because I think it would be helpful to have it agendized as a board discussion. I'm aware of the situation because I sit on Confiders board as well as on the board of supervisors, and I have some questions that I would love to have us all discuss, particularly with regard to the appeal process and other ways of establishing whether or not someone, in fact, it was mandatory when we put in the rule, and MOUs don't always follow the timeline of us. So that would be my request, that we have this brought back and sort of have that an opportunity for us to discuss it as a board and also have, of course, the fire district present to participate.
I would like it too, and I'll just get more educated on some points you brought up that I was unaware of as far as like the appeal process. So yeah, I would like to see it on the agenda.
A triplet.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a helpful discussion because I was taken by surprise when Jeff brought it to my attention a few weeks ago and that we were sort of in this predicament. So for me, I'd love to see it. So it sounds like other board members would as well.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.